Welcome to the Quack Hole Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack12Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack, quack.
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 Quack, quack,
quack.
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 12 and... Oh! I am your host, Adam Jamail.
And I am Aaron Schroeder.
That is right. And this is the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial, Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere.
And before we go any further, Adam.
Yes.
I would just like to directly talk to our beautiful dear listeners. Dear listeners, if you enjoy the song that you hear every goddamn week, I would invite you to go over to Mo Brown and the shitdowntown.bandcamp.com, where you can find that song plus many more written by yours truly, Adam Chimeo,
hey,
and recorded by yours truly, Aaron C. Schroeder, plus a plethora of our dearest friends. The record is great, and I just don't think we plug it at all, and I wanted to give you your flowers, Adam.
There you go.
It's a great record. I enjoy it so much.
Oh, wow.
And I think our listeners will, too.
Look at that. Look at that. It's amazing. That's right. The Quack 12 Podcast, the hippest, some say, of the Oregon Duck Podcast.
Definitely got the best music, that's for
best
sure.
Best music of all of them. Least to say, but best to listen to. Aaron, March Madness is officially over. March Madness has turned into March Sadness for so many. That's how it always goes, you know. It's going to end up March Sadness for all teams but one team.
Right. I like to think March Madness leads to April awkwards because why is it still called March Madness if it's ending in April?
If you're in April, yeah. It's true. It's weird. Someone's got to get on top of that. One thing that's been interesting about this year, one thing that's been historic, some would even say, is that, you know, usually, like, you know, it was not long ago, what was it, 3 years ago or something like that, that Sedona Prince went into those locker rooms and said, look how bullshit this women's locker room is compared to the men's locker room in March Madness, and it was absolutely ridiculous. And you know, there's still a whole lot to be said in that regard. Like this March Madness still showed, like, you know, terrible, racist cities that they're sending these ladies to. There was, the 3-point lines not being the same. These refs are apparently just anyone off the street. They're grabbing like, hey, you, do you like Caitlin Clark? Get in here then.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You know what? Fun fact, something I just recently learned. And so maybe I think it's time we, give the refs touch of a break.
Okay, doubt it.
Don't.
Let's hear it.
Don't come at me too hard.
Okay.
But what I just learned, these are not full-time referees. This is a second job for a lot of them.
I feel like most
they're
refs,
like,
yeah,
insurance agents. Also a terrible job. But, you know, they have other gigs. So maybe they're a little tired. You know, maybe they're on 32 ounces of coffee and are having a tough time really paying attention because they got a case of the loopies because they had to do an overnight security shift at the stadium they're now reffing at. We don't know how it works. We don't know. We should give the authority, the ruling class, we need to give them a break, Adam.
Well, I'll tell you this.
The people who decide how the rules go, we need to give them a break, Adam.
I feel like some of these refs were on personal security detail for Caitlin Clark in these games. Making sure nobody touched her whatsoever, or else it'd be a few extra points. That being said, first of all, fuck the refs. That's always going to be my stance.
I didn't watch any. I didn't watch any of March Madness.
You didn't watch any
because
of
well, the most important team lost very early
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And then in the other tournament, the not even arguably at this point, the better tournament, our team wasn't even in it. We didn't even have a horse in the race. That being said, women's basketball side, this has been an absolutely historic run for March
Banger
Madness.
Of a year.
Banger of a year. Because on the men's side, yeah, it really was shock. Like, in the end, you had Purdue and UConn, the two teams that everyone thought was going to be there. The team that won was UConn, who won it last year, which isn't a very common thing, but that's pretty cool that they were able to repeat.
Also, shout out to the assistant coach who I just discovered is...
Let's hear
Bill
it.
Bill Murray's son.
Oh, cool. All right. There you go.
I don't know if Bill Murray's still cool. I hear the court's out on him. The jury doesn't understand if Bill Murray's a good guy
anymore.
I'll
tell you anymore, this. I was a big old Bill Murray fan, and then I watched one little old interview of Bill Murray on Arsenio Hall with Gina Davis, and if you want to have a bad taste in your mouth, watch that and do a little internet research. It's one of those things where it's like, once you look into some of these famous guys, it gets a little rough. But, funny guy.
Anyway, congratulations to Bill Murray's son.
Yeah, this is the important thing in this awesome women's basketball, Nepo hires. But, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
So on the men's side, it was just all shock. And then UConn... They're back in it. They were a fun team to watch, but also it was kind of not fun because they were historically dominant over every single team. They were beating every team by like at least 13 points, sometimes like 20 points. Even in the final game, the championship game, they beat Purdue by like 13 or something like that. Like, and had them stiff-armed basically the whole time, even with their big man Sakiti. So men's side wasn't quite as entertaining. There weren't as many darlings. South Carolina. No. NC State had a really fun player, Burns. And it was cool that he made it to the Final Four. But then, So it wasn't all that fun on that side. I mean, I love the Oregon Ducks storyline. Those two guys. Just getting there was amazing. Super happy to be there. How we got there was awesome. That was fun.
Yep.
Yeah. That there was a good amount of Pac-12 teams in there. None of them made it that far, but that was nice to see, too. The women's side, though, you had the actual names, like the actual big names. Like, Caitlin Clark, sure, it got a little bit annoying how much, like even in games where it's like another team would be doing, like, a highlight moment or hitting a three, the commentators would still be talking about Caitlin Clark,
Yeah.
And, that being said... regardless of, maybe a few calls going her way or a few little moments, she was also amazing to watch. She was hitting, like, deep threes, like, nothing, coming in huge clutch. Like, she really was the team. I mean, the best college women's basketball player easily this year, most recognizable name, most recognizable college basketball player, maybe college athlete this year.
That's what I thought. I had seen an article that was really like, she is quite honestly the best basketball player, period.
But yeah, I mean, depends on how you want to rank these things. But in
Sabrina's obviously number one in my heart.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I don't know who this Caitlin Clark. She's not getting in my heart.
Yeah, she's not in my heart, my cold icy heart. I mean, not only that, but you had other names like you had Haley Van Lith. She was a name. She didn't really show up all that much in the tournament, but was someone that you knew.
That's fine.
Angel Reese was my favorite personal heel in women's college basketball.
We got us a heel storyline?
Oh, yeah. We had a million heel storylines. They're fantastic.
Right. I've already forgotten my terrible hot takes from last week in which I decided to just dislike people for bad attitudes. Oh, of course, well, there's heels.
There's about a billion other Twitter dudes that would have eagerly agreed with you. They're fantastic.
Well, let's not
actually go
there. I'm in a better place this week.
You should talk to
them.
I'm sure you'd get along with them, you know?
Nope. I've learned my lesson. I've grown as a male. I'm better. Fixed.
Johnson was really fun on LSU as well. There was Paige Buecher.
Oh, yeah.
Paige Buecher was a huge, awesome story for UConn where she had been injured for, like, seasons worth. She was their best player, but then got injured. Like, even when we played her back when we traveled to UConn, I believe, like, she wasn't in that game. But she rallied back, had a really, really good game against Iowa in the Final Four. And each one of these games, we're getting, like, record ESPN numbers. And I'm not just talking about, like, oh, record for women's basketball. They were breaking basketball records for ESPN. I believe the championship game, I think I saw this headline. The championship game between what came down to Iowa versus South Carolina. South Carolina was undefeated. Entire season, got all the way to the championship. There were some close calls, but got all the way to the championship game. So it's
undefeated the whole season?
Whole season and postseason, obviously, because single elimination. So they get to the end. Still, all of the talk is Caitlin Clark going to get her championship? It was not, is this amazing undefeated team going to be able to take her down? And there was, like, no real names people were saying, per se, you know, for South Carolina. It was just kind
sure.
of like, oh, South Carolina. And the first half was very, very close, back and forth. But what it came down to, and this is very cool to see, South Carolina, it came down to their depth. Like, it was something like, They just outscored. It was something like in the 30s, South Carolina's bench scored. Something like under 10 points for Iowa, their bench scored. Like, it really came down to Dawn Staley had a full-ass team ready to go. Including led by the one, the only, Tahina Paopao. It was very cool to see Tahina Paopao.
What?
Get to celebrate like I'm a national fucking champion.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
it's just one of those
things. I'm so stoked for her, but talk about insult to injury for the Ducks as a team because.
Absolutely.
Dear Mr. Graves, look at what you made walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm-hmm. Signed, your ever loving, very hating fans, Quacktail Podcast.
we actually need to send that. Yes, we will kill you. No, I'm joking.
No.
We're not sending death threats.
But we will definitely start a petition asking for your resignation.
Oh, absolutely.
You can find that at change.org.
Completely ready for that. Yeah, I bet you we could get a good amount of people. It's unfortunate.
But good for her. Tahina Paopao leading the crew. I'm glad she got it. She deserves it. She is a great player.
Yeah. She made a great decision, clearly. I think she hit her first, like, three-pointers, like, really helped set the tone. And South Carolina is a team where it's like, she didn't have to be, like, for Oregon, when she was on that team, she had to have a stellar freaking night for us to be competitive. On South Carolina, she can contribute. And if she does well, she's that they're that much more of an unstoppable force. If she's having a rough go, they can put in one of their talented freshmen, which they literally did. And the freshmen just played lights out. And honestly, it was a really good experience where it was like, even though Iowa lost, it wasn't like Caitlin Clark was being a bad sport. Like she, you know, like she gave him credit. Like everyone shook hands. South Carolina rallied. Dawn Staley, who only sometimes do I have a problem. The only problem I have with her is if she's calling people who don't believe in God idiots. I don't like that. Outside of that, though,
or her attire.
No, you're thinking Kim Mulkey, I believe.
Oh, thank
you. Like Dawn Staley's attire. It you know.
Okay.
Kim Mulkey's the one that dresses like she's like selling used
Elton
cars
John.
In Texas. Yeah, Elton John.
Right.
Ellen John. Who she probably thinks is going to hell. But so Kim Mulkey,
that's
though.
Right.
Not Kim Mulkey. Dawn Staley, though, like, this is her third title. She immediately after the game, you know what she did? I mean, in the postgame presser, first of all, she was crying like so much. She says every single one, she called out every one of her bench players and players that didn't see time. She's like, hey,
wow.
I want to say this person, this person, this person, this person immediately. She also ends her big speech on the podium saying like, and let's not forget what Caitlin Clark has done for this sport. It's unparalleled. Like, she's a GOAT of the sport. Like, calling out, you know, giving Caitlin Clark credit. It was a very, like, feel-good experience, and I think that's why people were tuning in. Also, it was just great basketball. Not just competitive basketball. Literally just awesome basketball to watch. And,
I mean,
yeah.
It is interesting, too, because we live in a time where you jump on TikTok, and I don't know that there's too much positive publicity around men's basketball. Mm-hmm. You're getting a lot of like, and here's every time LeBron James just runs down the court without dribbling and nothing gets called. And I think people are just kind of sick of that and are finally realizing that women's basketball is actually a much more solid sport where people actually play the game and don't just showboat.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that it's not just like hero ball a lot of the times.
Right.
And also, it's just these players are fucking great. Like, dear Lord. It was all very fun to watch. This WNBA draft is going to be awesome. I'm going to try to actually watch some more. I'm going to try to be a diehard New York Liberty fan. Watch Sabrina Ionescu more often. It's some of my favorite design. Like, you know, you're in New York. You got the color of the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty flame. Like, that's your kind of, like, logo.
Yeah.
Like, it all works so well. I really like
you
it.
You know, though, I hate to be this guy, but it doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for you.
The color, like you said, the colors, I find them really boring.
Mm.
I need something that pops. I need bright, poppy colors, not like cool mint, spearmint green things.
I get you. Well,
they need like a deep, rich green and yellow. You know what I mean? I feel like that
baby.
Would be much better. And
I'm
then
sure
I could get
is.
Into it.
See, again, I'm such a non-WNBA fan because of my misogynist leanings, as you know.
Sure.
I think a bunch of other people are going to hop on this train of like, oh, I want to see what Caitlin Clark clearly going to the Indiana Fever. But I think there's going to be a good, like, wave of people watching the WNBA. And another thing that's going to be interesting is you saw this a lot. A bunch of WNBA players, like, you know, like a Kelsey Plum or Sue Bird or a Taurasi, something like that. They are clearly.
Sue Bird represent.
Yeah. They are clearly being like, yeah, I can't wait to shut down these young bucks coming in the league. Because, like, they're clearly like, proud of Caitlin Clark, proud of Angel Reese, proud of all these, you know, players going into the draft and that they've gotten more notoriety than so many March Madnesses before, that they've gotten more money, certainly, than $0.
I'm sure they're bitter on that one.
I think they're definitely a little bit bitter,
well,
you know.
I
think they're ready to,
wrong,
like,
but
shut
I
them
thought,
down.
I thought Sue Bird retired.
Oh, maybe I just threw that word out there. But, you know, there was a lot of, like, they would get these greats, old greats to come and, like, comment on the games. They had a whole ESPN stream, yeah.
I can't lie to say I can't wait to see Caitlin Clark get humbled by Sabrina.
Oh,
I think
that'd be great.
That is a guaranteed fact. I think it'll be a great matchup. It's a Jordan versus Bird type of situation that we've got coming up, and I think we're all going to learn Sabrina's just better.
I mean, you know, I'm not.
Better.
You
maybe
know
not
I'm
3 years
argue.
From now.
Yeah.
But she's better.
You know, I'm not going to argue. It's going to make everyone better. Sabrina Ionescu
right.
is the greatest player there ever will be, so I don't think anyone's ever gets faster. But yeah, she's absolutely wonderful. So Tihina Paopao coming off 14 points and now has a national championship and was clearly having a ball. She's having a great fucking time. Now let's go into the opposite of all that success. The opposite of having a great time.
Oh, God, I know where this is going.
Of winning basketball.
Let's not do it, dude. Let's not do it.
We got to talk about Oregon women's basketball.
Fuck.
I thought we talked
Dear
about
Dear Kelly
this.
Graves.
Yeah, get the
this
hell
is a
out
letter
here.
Warning you, if one more player enters the portal.
Aaron, what have I been saying for over a fucking year about this team?
Kelly Graves is trash at recruiting, but, and if we have players leave into the transfer portal, we are screwed.
Yes. For over a year. Easy for over a year. I'm telling y'all, like, this is the easiest poll for me. Every week for over a year, I've been saying, well, even if this season is a complete wash, which it was, which I completely predicted. This is this is going to be me on my podium because I mean, it was easy to call, but I did call all these things.
Hey, you're allowed to have your Hithla Day moment.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay.
Go ahead. Take your Hithla Day moment. Let's hear it.
I remember looking at their Pac-12 slate and being like, Aaron, for real, I'm not sure how many wins I see. This could be disastrous. We got two fucking Pac-12 wins. Should I be dropping the F-bomb in this? I don't know. But yeah, I'm up here on my soapbox, baby. We got two Pac-12 wins. And before the season even started, I kept saying, if any starter, but specifically Grace Van Sluten, Chance Gray, or Filipina Che transfer, then we are absolute garbage fire, like, for next year, for the upcoming future, for the next 3 years. We are just could not be more trash. We are donezo. Could have a worse year. Well, Aaron, guess what happened immediately the moment they could? And, hey, power to them. I like these ladies, so I want them to leave.
Yeah, they
so they
deserve
can have
better.
Yeah.
They deserve better, for real.
I mean, Look at Pau is the ultimate example of why you should leave Oregon women's best.
Yes. Yes.
So
I will say,
yeah,
you did guess 2 out of 3, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And there was still 3. Yeah.
Philippine Shea still sticking around. And I think that's a lot of
loyalty.
I
don't think that's going to happen, though. I think she'll end up leaving.
No, we'll see.
I don't see why she would want to stay.
I could see it being like, because she really was like an unfinished product when she got here, like really learning the game. And so there could be more sense of loyalty. And let's keep in mind, Tihina Paopao was the last of the, we had 5 5-stars in that legendary recruiting class. 4 of them base really quickly transferred out. Tihina Paopao was that 5th one that hung on for a while and then was just done.
Right.
So, like power to her. But now we have players that were absolutely not only just going to be starters, but we're going to be earning huge minutes. Like, easy, like, 40 minutes. Like, you know, we saw our bench was averaging, I'm pulling this out of my butt, but I don't know, 2-4 points a game the entire
bench.
Yeah,
that sounds accurate.
So we got Grace Van Sluten and Chance Gray, the two leading scorers of this team, arguably the two best players. I don't even think it's arguably. I think it's the two best players. Both of them decided to transfer. Kennedy Basham. The prom, like our only, I mean, no offense to everyone else, but like our only promising freshman on this squad, she's also gone. Priscilla Williams, she already left. I mean, that's not as big a loss, but that is a loss when you consider these other three players too.
It is another person you have to replace.
Yeah. It's more experience too. Like regardless of what she was producing, it's the experience of the team.
And, so what do you think? What do you think is the smarter way? Do you think we recruit a strong freshman class in hopes of growing them, or do we bring in senior talent that could at least get us more wins so that way in the coming years we look a little bit stronger? Do we burn a bunch of money now to try and get a winning season, or do we settle into the fact we're going to have a couple of shit seasons so that we can grow a stronger talent pool?
You know, we do have a couple of promising freshmen coming in.
Okay.
Like a good freshman guard, Fiso from Garfield, actually, up in Seattle.
No shit.
Like, she's going to be a starter, and, like, it's just no matter how good you are, jumping up levels, just like, you know, like Caitlin Clark to the WNBA, though this person's no Caitlin Clark, most likely. It's just unlikely that you're going to be able to be a superstar right away, especially if everyone around you is not a complete team. If you are supposed to be also like the spirit of the team, the leader of the team, that's typically 99% of the time too much to ask for a true freshman. We do have a couple of transfers in Sienna Guard and Elisa Mivius, I believe you say it. Which they're promising, but neither of them are like offensive juggernauts. They're kind of like
what year?
Role players. Let's check this out. I mean, it's been a while. Well, we got so Mivius is a 5'10". She got 2 years of eligibility. She's a junior. She did play in a lower division, you know, the MAAC. She was the defensive player of the year, so she's like really a defensive star. She averaged 12 points. So, like,
I mean,
she's promising. She
is
promising.
Seems to be the only thing Graves cares about anymore is defense.
That being said, it's like, so it's really just her. Sorry, just Sienna Guard. I said Sienna Guard as if that was a name. No, she is from Siena, the school. A school I've never heard of.
She is a guard.
This is how familiar I am with these players. It's not like if I'm being real. If you look at teams like you got like Charlize like Walker from Wazoo. I'm just pulling these off the top of my name. I'm probably insulting people by butchering these names. But you've got like Oregon State. Unfortunately, even though they were a great women's basketball team this year, two of their like star players, like Talia Van Olhoffen, embarrassing myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's early in the morning, y'all. And I think that Tamia Gardner, they both have transferred. Those are great players. Those are players that I would be like, if we got them, I would be stoked. I would be like, hey, Here's a very talented person coming to us. We're not getting them. We're not getting top 100 recruits, freshman level. We're not getting top level transfer players, which even if you get them, you don't have the chemistry automatically. You don't have built-in leadership. Like, even if we were getting these awesome transfers because of NIL and stuff, which we are not, that is not Kelly Graves' strong point. He's no Dana Altman in that regard. Like, even if we got them, it would still be a work in progress, which you can't develop players if they're leaving every year or two. If your best players
Though, this does have me starting to wonder something. We have an extra piece of the puzzle that's still unknown as well, which is that now that we are entering into a whole different conference, one that I believe is going to create a way more stressful travel schedule.
Absolutely.
Because of just distance.
Absolutely.
It almost makes me wonder if players are also negotiating the fact that they just need a bit more stability to not be completely drained from a sport when they also need to be focusing on academics.
I think that's got to be at least, you know, like some of these players, like Stanford's always going to have advantage specifically in women's basketball, where you're like, well, I'm going to stay, you know, like making a professional career as a woman is harder right now. It's already a super hard thing to do, period, man or
right.
woman. But woman, it is harder to do. So going to a place like Stanford, that is a legit great school, 10 times right. the academic school Oregon is going to have a clear advantage because you're just like, well, I'll go there. They're legendary coach, really good academics, obviously. Getting a Stanford mm-hmm. degree means actually something. And then there's also places where it's like in the Big Ten, like, you know, what Iowa's coming off of right now. Of course people want to go play for Iowa, you know. Or even Ohio State is a pretty decent women's basketball school. Indiana has a whole lot of history. Illinois has a whole lot of history. It's just right. I think mainly our problem right now is people are watching us and they have the same theory you and I have. That's like, well, since Sabrina's left, they've been mediocre to straight up terrible. And the bigger red flag is all this great talent doesn't want to be there. Even even if it's like, hey, you're about you can be a full starter here. And and we know the capability of Oregon women's basketball is to sell out stadiums, to get serious Nike money, to well, I mean, we don't really know about the NIL situation in Oregon women's basketball. It can't be like top of the food chain right now in that
right.
department, because otherwise we would be getting better players than we're getting right now. Or they're just choosing, it's like, not worth the money. I'd rather go to a team that's good and get some money there. Like,
yeah, or they're going, I'd rather go to a school where the average travel time is 3 to 5 hours, not 6 to 9.
Yeah, I think that certainly
like,
comes
Jesus.
Into play. Yeah.
It's going to be this next season's going to be crazy to see what a traveling schedule looks like for these players, both men and women. It's going to be insane.
Absolutely. Well, every single sport, it's going to be like insane is the best way to put it. Does not make
logical
sense.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about football in this situation. Not only are they getting physically destroyed, but now they're also going to have extreme mental fatigue.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
None of it makes sense.
What a great country we live in, Adam.
None of it makes sense, bro. Now they're even talking about a future Super League in like
what?
2030 or something for college football. It would basically be like taking supposedly the higher ups. Something like I've heard
the NFC AFC situation, huh? They're building an NFC AFC in college sports.
It'd be like all the big leagues, whatever. It'd be like all the big teams, like 70 of the biggest teams in college football, which we are absolutely part of, luckily. They would all
for
be
now.
Like, well, as long as we got Nike money, which will probably last even after Phil Knight dies, then we're going to be big shit. But like all these 70 top teams, they're for sure in. They're the big super league. They're always going to play. And then there'll be this thing where there's another 10 teams or something like that. And they're going to start doing relegation in theory. Do you know have you ever heard that term? It's mainly a soccer term, actually.
I was about to say this sounds like football.
Exactly.
I call it football.
Look at European sensibilities over here.
Yes. Football is played on a pitch.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
No, and I think, honestly,
I think it's kind of cool.
I like
idea,
that concept a lot. I think it's really fun to have this tier system that, as a team, you can work your way up, move into the next slot of system. You know, I think it builds a stronger fan base. I think it builds a stronger team.
It does
morale.
Make a lot of sense for college football when there's so many teams. So many haves or have not. So many seasons. Yeah. No, I do like the idea. It's a double-edged sword. I would kind of hate it, but I kind of wish it was true relegation where, like, even the biggest schools ever, if you were to have a disastrous season, you can get knocked down.
Yes.
That's not, like, the money behind the biggest schools is, like, we're not going to fucking allow that. We're not going to have Alabama be in a lower division.
Right.
So it's an unfair version
it is. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that makes me mad about Eurovision, which is that there is a few countries that just get to be in the finals because they are the country they are. And I'm like, you know what? Your song is shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, step in the right direction, I guess. But the ruling class, the elite class, is always going to be the ruling and the elite class. And there's nothing that you or I can do about that. So we might as well accept the fate that what they give us is what we get. And it's at least better than what we had before. Right?
There you go. There you go.
I think. Now, does this apply to all sports? Because it makes a hell of a lot of sense in baseball to go regulation.
Yeah, it would, but people don't care. There's not enough money in college baseball for anyone to care about that, really.
So even basketball wouldn't. This is just a football thing.
Basketball ain't broke. Make the tournament. You get into the tournament.
Right. Great point. Basketball ain't broke. That's a great point.
Yeah.
March Madness is a system that has worked forever.
It's a wonderful system. The only thing that could break it is if they added more teams. Because right now it's like fucking perfect. Don't touch it. You know.
I mean, it's not perfect because it ends in April. Let's not shy away from the obvious thing. I think it should start a little early. If you're going
to
have it
Aaron,
in
to
March,
be fair,
started in the beginning of March.
To be fair, like the madness of March Madness is way more in the early section when you have 64 teams playing in 2 days, you know. And then the next one, now it's 32 teams. When you're getting down to, like, Final Four, that is a little less mad when it's like, well, now it's two teams playing.
Couldn't it be more mad if the whole tournament took place over 2 weeks?
Oh, 2 weeks. That would be terrible.
If you win, you play the next day.
Next day, oh my God.
No matter where you are. When there's 4 teams left, that means you have played that many days in a row.
Well, I don't like it.
Then we'll see who's actually great.
That's just who has the best depth at that point. That's
so,
not as fun.
That's great. Let's
that's
do
not
that.
As fun.
I tell you what, people wouldn't be talking about this Sabrina wannabe
Caitlin Clark
as much because she'd be too tuckered out.
That's true. Well,
just say it.
I don't know if that's
best.
Good. I don't know if that's a good thing for the sport. So we'll see.
I think it'd be fascinating. It changes the betting lines.
To be fair, insanely. You're not watching any of these, so I'm not sure if it would matter
because it's too paced out. It's like I can't devote 3 hours once a week. That's insane. But
it's
I can
not,
give you
oh,
I don't
bro.
Know 9 hours for 5 days straight.
I don't think you would do that.
I can plan that.
You can literally watch that. That's the first couple of rounds of the tournament. It's fucking awesome.
I'm just saying, this is a great idea.
I'm telling you, you can get like the first day of the tournament, the greatest day in sports is when you get to wake up at like fucking 9 in the morning and then it ends at 11 p.m. and you've watched... It's like, I'm trying to think with it, 16 games of basketball. It's fucking amazing.
Okay, let me throw one more idea at you then, and then we can move on to the next topic.
Yeah, I got a few news.
What happened was, let's say you get in, right? Mm-hmm. You're one of the 64 teams. You win that first game. You immediately get off the court, go take a power nap, because as soon as the other teams have played their games and it's 32, you're back on the court. It is a 24-hour constant cycle that is a live stream on YouTube. And so the true diehard fans can just stay up for like 4 days straight to watch the whole thing. And teams only get to rest when they're not playing their game.
This is the games, constant, one court. This is a guy who doesn't want to watch March Madness and would rather it be over sooner. This is what it sounds like to me.
You might be onto something. I just want it to be done before April 1st.
Yeah, no, I do get that. I do. I feel like we could squeeze in the last couple of games. You know.
Yeah.
Or start earlier. Yeah. That's what it really is. You should get rid of some regular season games so you actually start the tournament on March 1st.
I don't see why the whole season can't start a little sooner. Just start the whole season 1 month earlier.
There you go. You fixed it. You fixed it all.
I mean, football starts before school's in session.
It's
just
true.
Do the same thing with basketball.
It's true. One person I'm keeping my eye on, if you remember watching Arizona men's basketball, is Omar Ballow. He was their big man. We need a big man. He entered the transfer portal. Bingo, bango. I'm keeping an eye on him. I'll let you know that. That would be a good landing spot is for the Ducks. And it seems like Dana Altman right now is like, we've actually got a good amount of returning talent if Kwame Evans decides to stay. We'll see. Because, like, Keyshawn Barthelemy's coming back. I really liked him. Will Richardson. Not Will Richardson. Oh, my God, not Will Richardson. Oh, my God. I feel like ESPN.
I think.
Not Jermaine Cousinard. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about this next season is going to see how Dana reorganizes his practice strategy. Because I do think he did get into his own brain because of injury situations. Mm-hmm. And then when you have just a quote-unquote sick player, you know, that's like, that messes with your head where you realize these aren't athletes, they're kids. And unfortunately, I feel like Dana got a little too into the, these aren't athletes, these are kids. But once he acknowledged that,
we'll see. I mean,
we won the entire Pac-12 tournament, so
we'll see if Jackson Schjelstad. I mean, he had a great freshman season. He's going to be need to be the leader for the next one without Cousinard being there.
He's gonna need to hit more shots as well.
Well, you know, and there were some
games
he was
amazing.
Just
time.
Hoping. And then, like, you know, what basically the Peyton Pritchard route, where Peyton Pritchard near the end was turned into like a, oh my God, this guy is the team, and he's down for it. I believe, like, Keyshawn Barthelemy is also going to be a really good, like, player to have, where he is so, I don't know, he's been around the block for a while. He was really coming on fire until he got injured. Nate Biddle. It seems like due to the illness, due to the time of not being able to even work out or practice, I feel like it's going to be a while until we see him fully become effective next season.
I don't know that he's coming back, my guy.
No, I think he is.
I think it's a serious thing.
I mean, he announced that he would. Who knows about, like, if he'll be ready, but he says he'll be back, and we'll see. But it's definitely, we need another big man. We need another center to just in case. Also, it's just good to have two. Like, we were going into the season, we were going to have Dante and Biddle, and that would have been a big, I don't know. We would have been a lot better of a team, I'll tell you that much. But, I'm feeling pretty optimistic. I'm sure what Dana Altman is good at, he's getting these transfers to fill in. So I think he's looking for some, like, veteran talent. So I'm excited to see what he pulls.
I mean, I'll tell you what. As a 42-year-old man, listening to him talk in press conferences, I was like, sign me up. I will play for you. Let me do it.
Yeah.
I feel like the dude is very good at convincing someone everything's going to be good. You should definitely come to our team. So I'm not super concerned about it. I'm just more concerned about getting them a little bit tougher.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, man. I just hope it's so unlikely that the injury luck will be as bad as it was this season. But I said that probably last season, too. So a little more news, a little more football center news. I know you're going to like this one. Bo Nix has Bo Nix has visited a bunch of NFL teams, but recently he visited the Seahawks, and I like to see that. That would be a very good landing spot for him.
Please don't go to Colorado. Please don't go to Colorado.
The Colorado? You mean Denver, like the Broncos or something like that? You don't want him to go to the Broncos?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it, but I'll root for Bo Nix. I would also like, honestly, if Penix landed on the Seahawks, it would be pretty fun. But Bo Nix would be a great fit for them. I'd like to see
I'm curious to see, you know, I don't know anything about the new Seahawks coach. I'm very interested in in seeing what his play style is. It's going to be it's a whole shakeup.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I have no idea.
Yeah, Knicks came to Seattle, you know I'm buying tickets.
Hey, there you go. That'd be fun. Then we got I mean, there hasn't been much news, and like there's been some spring practices going on, stuff like that for the Oregon football, okay. Obviously. Dan Lanning allows less media access than say Cristobal or some other people before him. Yeah, no, I mean it doesn't really help him to have a bunch of media access there. And he allow, you know, it's spring practice anyway, so it's like you can't gain a lot. From the only thing you can gain from like spring game, spring practice, a lot of times is who is actually physically able to play right now. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably number one. And then who's getting reps. That doesn't always mean they're going to get reps when it actually comes down to the games. But, you know, if a freshman's getting quick starting reps, that can mean something. And then some chemistry stuff, but, you know, there's not much to get out of. But I will say our new QB, number one, Dylan Gabriel, most likely, very promising, seems to be clicking really quickly, and also having a good time from what I hear. But so I'm very optimistic about this QB, Dylan Gabriel. It seems like it really could be kind of a Bo Nix situation of like, you got a veteran who was, like, you know, pretty good on their other team, but may be able to get a new level out of them at Oregon because a lot more weapons around him and stuff like that. It really feels like that. Very excited. Also hearing pretty good things from Dante Moore, the backup. Amazing that we have two, like, promising and you know, like, ex-starting quarterbacks. It's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. That's some serious money, honestly, involved there. Our old running back coach, Carlos Lachlan, who was quoted basically saying something like, oh, well, you know, all these people that are transferring, they're just soft-baked cookies, and I don't want soft-baked cookies on my team. He decided to transfer out of here. He took a job. he actually...
Dude was like, well, if you're not going to give me hard as rock cookies, I'm out of here.
Yeah, basically. So
fuck I like him, them I stale and old.
Yeah, I guess. Get out of here, buddy.
Get out of here, butthead.
Yeah, so he, and actually what's even worse is he went and he took a job over at Ohio State. Which blows. Yeah, which really blows. Especially because he's got, like, you know, some of our playbook with him, so that's not super fun. But, so, good riddance to bad rubbish. Good riddance to bad rubbish. We actually already have someone in pretty prominent. Dan Lanning is a hell of a recruiter in every regard, including his coaching staff. We got a promising new running back coach, Rashad Samples. He was the coach at Arizona State, worked with Kenny Dillingham. One thing I love about Kenny Dillingham is when people like pick apart like some of his players, you know, like take some of his players or take his coaching staff, instead of being like, well, whatever, he sucks, he's actually the kind of guy who goes to bat with them, which is pretty smart, honestly. You don't want to be like, I hired a bad guy, so it's actually a good thing. It's pretty smart to be like, hey, guess what? Oregon's getting a really, really good coach. And that,
right.
He has good things to say. Yeah.
It's called career longevity. Yeah. You don't want to be if you want to excel and continue up the ladder, you say everybody's awesome. Because if you hired him and then you're like, he sucks, what's different between you and the Cheeto dude running for president? You know, nothing. It's like, you can't hire him and then tell the world he's trash. It's like, then why did you hire him?
Then why did you hire him?
It makes you look like an idiot.
Yeah, true.
Oh, boy.
So,
but good for him. But I'm stoked to have a new running back coach that's going to bring a little fresh approach to the situation.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Lachlan did bring in some, Noah Whittington, Bucky Irving, Jordan James.
Yeah.
They were super fun to watch. But I like this guy. He actually has a good amount of experience as a wide receivers coach. That's what he was doing.
Oh,
over at
interesting.
ASU. And because Ohio State hired away Carlos Lachlan, his buyout made it so, like, you know, we're not even paying this, you know, like, I think we got like $380,000 or something like that by them hiring away him. His salary would have been like $500,000. So it kind of evens out, and we're paying this guy about the same. So really works out. He's worked with like really good players like Elijah Badger, ASU, who was a huge strong point. He's a really good recruiter, which we're super into that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Including, here's a little tidbit. Not that this is necessarily going to happen or anything, but so he is from Texas. He played with his dad and stuff like that in what high school is this? Skyline High School.
Oh, sure.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
His dad, Reginald Samples, is the high school coach there. And not only that, but a player who played there, five-star receiver, LSU commit for now, DeCorian Moore, he is committed to LSU, but Oregon is pushing really hard to get him.
Interesting.
And now we have a few more connections, so that may happen. You know, these position coaches, it's more like if that – I won't really look at them unless they're fucking up or unless they're not recruiting at all. So I'll probably forget about this dude, but it seems like a good hire. I'm pretty excited.
I think it's very interesting to have a running backs coach that also has knowledge in the receiving realm.
Yeah.
Because – does that mean you can start doing some sneaky rollout pass type things?
Like Bucky Irving and specifically Noah Whittington have great hands and were lethal like threats in the passing game.
Right.
Again.
Right.
So like I just imagine there's going to be more of that. Like there will be times he's going to be teaching them as a receiver. But I he also has some experience as a running back coach. He has a little bit of NFL experience even. He's super young. I think he's under 30. But he's
love it.
He's rising the ranks like crazy. And this seems to be the kind of guy. I mean, it makes sense considering Dan Lanning is this kind of guy. But he likes
35 at best?
Yeah. He likes hiring the people who are rising the ranks, like, meteorically.
He's smart that way. That's the smart thing to do. The game is changing, and he understands that. Yeah. He's changing the game.
Yeah. No, I love it. I'd rather have these new heads than these old heads that, like, don't understand NIL, Kelly
Potato
Graves.
Potato chips.
Kelly
you
Graves.
Don't want any of that.
Dude, Chip Kelly, oh, my fucking God. What a weird dude that guy ended up being. Well, I mean, he always was, but, you know.
I can't wait for his 30 for 30. It's going to be bananas what we learn about that guy.
It'll be interesting until it gets to the interview with Chip Kelly. Then it'll be boring as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's basically the news, my man. It was fun.
That's not true.
Oh?
Adam.
Ooh?
Oregon baseball rises inside the top 20 of college rankings after a series win over UCLA.
It is true.
D1 baseball has us at number 18. Baseball America's got us at number 17. We have a 22-8 record so far.
Yeah.
8-4 conference.
Yeah. No, Oregon
baseball
is good.
It's still fresh season, but we're crushing it over there, too.
Softball ain't doing bad either.
Dude, we're hitting dingers.
Yeah, I'll go to a game soon. I think we got some decent weather coming up. I'll go to a game. That's the way I like to enjoy baseball. Actually be there. Otherwise, I'm not watching it.
You need some nacho cheeses. You need some chili cheese doggies.
I'd love a pretzel, personally.
A fresh pickle. Never hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't sell them, but yeah.
Stupid.
Also, there's a spring game coming up, blah, blah, blah. One thing I liked that he's doing, Dan Lanning, is there's like a country song that some members of the fan base love. Like, I don't mind that we have a country song that we regularly play for football games. And it's specifically by this artist, Matt Kearney. I don't know him very well outside of the song. And the song is called, like, Coming Home to Oregon, you know, parentheses to Oregon or something. Like, it's written about Oregon. I do like that. The
sure.
song, I don't really, like, the song is basically, coming home to Oregon. Like, it's a very, something you hear on the radio and just not even think about. Some people
love
it.
It's like
that it.
Chicago song that's all the rage on social media.
I don't know it. What is it?
Oh.
Like Chicago, it's like great. The old Chicago band or from the city Chicago?
No, I don't know what the song is called, but it's the cool guy from Stranger Things. He has a band.
Oh.
And his song is about going back to Chicago.
Home, Chicago, like the Blues Brothers song?
No, like a shoegazy indie pop song.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't mind it. I don't ever want to listen to it, but I'm like, you know, you got the butt rock at the stadium. Might as well. It's football. There's going to be some hicks. Satisfy the hicks.
But what I want to say is one thing I think is very
smart that Dan Lanning's doing that he announced. You know, you want to get people at these spring games. It's just good PR and stuff.
Yeah.
He got this guy who sings this song. Definitely the most famous thing he does is sing this song. He is going to do a free concert immediately after the spring game at the stadium. I think that's pretty smart.
Wow, that cost it. I bet. Mm. See, that's what this.
I don't know
this
how
dude,
much money it really.
If this
I'm
country
curious.
Boy is a smart businessman, he'd be like, "Well, you're using my song. I mean, you kind of got it. If you kind of can't, you kind of are. You know, like he can say whatever he can name a number, and I'm sure he'll get it."
No. I think the relationship is more like, thank you so much, Lanning. Absolutely, I will do it. Absolutely, no problem. Because, like, I don't, like, when you look up Matt Kearney, like, I'm fairly certain number one song is this Oregon song. And then there's whatever the, like, I'm going to look up on Spotify right now.
Is it a pop country type tune, or is it more of a country western outlaw
I will
country?
I'll tell you this. I wish it was more.
We talking
outlaw.
Americana? Are we talking folk? Where are we leaning here?
I'm looking. Well, first of all, maybe he's bigger than. Maybe I'm being a little bit
a butthead.
A little bit of a butthead because I'm looking at stuff. He's based in Nashville, Tennessee, but he was born in Eugene, Oregon. That's where he wrote it.
Oh, that's awesome.
He has a total of 5 top 20 hits on the adult top 40 chart. So he's bigger. He's bigger than I thought.
There you go. That's big. That's not bigger. That is big.
Yeah, but 20, you know.
You don't get to live in Nashville and be that successful unless you are a star.
Yeah, no.
Like, Nashville is so insular. They don't let people come up in the ranks. This dude did it. From Eugene, so
I'll play
dude, mega.
I'll play some of his music right now with the idea that, you know, YouTube may hear this.
Can
and
we hear the
down.
Song?
Yeah, I'll play some
song?
Of it. We should talk over it, so hopefully they don't.
Absolutely. I will do real time review of what I think of this country
and,
boy,
and I'll just delete it if you know this won't make the cut if YouTube strikes it down, which sometimes
do
randomly
you
they
think.
Do.
This is a clever attempt by Lanning to replace the third quarter.
No.
With a square dance.
No. Well, this is like a tradition. Like they also play the I forget when, like early in the first quarter or something like that. Like they always play this specific video. Some people fucking love this song.
Oh, Matt Kearney. Yeah.
Matt Kearney.
I know that name. Okay. Maybe it's because you said it earlier, but that seems familiar.
Yeah, it's probably it. Unless you love him, I don't know. I'll play it for you. I mean, it's just very... I don't like songs with the like, kind of feel.
Sure.
Can you hear it? Down Interstate 5. I'll turn it up a little.
Yeah, give me some more juice. I'm not really hearing it. But I felt so alive.
Like, it's not
I know the song.
It's not my genre. So
this is like in commercials, I think. We all know this song. This song is huge, Adam. You're the one who's out of touch, brother.
Is it, or do you know it because of University of Oregon? I would think so.
Maybe because
Or do
of
you
Oregon,
know it because
I'm
this song sounds
commercial.
Like it's in every commercial?
Oh, yeah. No, I understand the song because of Oregon. You're right. Yeah.
I love that puddles there. I mean, I like it a little more every time I hear it. I don't love
it. This seems like it's a fan-made music video.
This is the official U of O, like, you're not getting these football clips and stuff like there.
Look.
Without University of Oregon's.
All day would prefer hearing whoa-oh-oh-oh-oh-ohs more than, hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
What about this, though? I love this Cali Uches, this lady I really love. She's just got, like,
Look at all the beautiful...
What about this? There's one chorus that I love that goes, hey, hey. I like a hey, hey. Just hey,
oh,
I don't
sure,
like.
Maybe.
Hey, hey, I like.
It's also really tough to hate a song when you're being just blasted by some of the greatest sports memories of all time. And this kid's from Eugene.
Yeah, no, I do.
You know,
like,
come on, he's a hometown boy. We can't be hating.
I'm going to stop this, but I...
Yeah, we don't need to hear any more of it. I get it.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind it because it's literally like, oh, he's singing about Oregon. Literally dropping Eugene, Oregon, like, a few references and stuff like that. That I like. The thing I don't like that we always play, like, it's our third down song, is, I forget what band it is, but, like, Joker and the Thief.
That sounds so familiar.
It's the one that's like daint 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 daint. Like it sounds a lot like he sounds like Jack White.
Oh, the Wolf Mother song.
Wolf Mother. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That one I'm less inclined to like because I'm like, even though I like the style of the song more, I'm like this ain't got jack shit to do with Oregon.
Wolf Mother is also a band that's tough for me because I believe they're Australian. And they only really got a bump because they only got, okay, I'm probably going to get a little bit biased here, but I feel like they only really got a bump in American radio because White Stripes were huge.
Yeah, and they sound
and
so,
so we
much
were
like
just
White
looking
Stripes.
For another White Stripes and we were throwing anything at the wall to see what would stick. And unfortunately, Wolf Mother was a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're insanely original. You know, they're just another Led Zeppelin type band. It's a tough genre to be great at.
Mm-hmm.
So no disrespect, but I prefer the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like I got nothing against them. They do sound just like a White Stripes kind of rip.
Yeah. That's when they showed up in America. I don't know what their history in Australia is, but I'm pretty sure they're Australian.
Yeah. But I just don't, love it how much they play in Austin because it's just like this has got nothing to do with Oregon. I love that shout makes perfect sense. This Oregon song, hey, he's literally singing about Oregon. I wish they'd figure. I don't have like an example of what I want on third down. Honestly, I would rather us all just quack at the opponents.
But you know what I would do?
What's that?
I would play Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Our Land. Because that's an intimidation tactic at that point where you're like, no, this is our field.
They're like, communism.
And then the quarterback is like holding the football going, this machine kills fascists.
We write that on every football. I mean, it's not exactly, it's kind of a lower, it's like a low key vibe that we're not really looking for on third down. I think we're looking for,
we'll just have
intense.
Wolf Mother update it.
Now,
this land we'll just have Wolf land. Mother cover.
This land is my land. From California to New York City. that's good. I mean, it's also the exact opposite mentality of football, where it's like, no, this land is my land. These next 3 yards are my yards.
That's what I'm saying.
Not your yards.
But when you say our, you mean like our team, the 12 people on this field.
What about your?
Or though? The 11 people on this field.
You don't
field.
Want them to have any land, though.
Do we no, we do. We out? Want our players to have the whole field. We want our team to have okay. the whole thing.
So we're only singing to, well, it needs a
we're singing
work.
To our enemies about our
what if we did,
property.
What if we did the Quack 12 theme song on third down?
I mean, that's why I pimped the band camp that's earlier is because did. I feel like the coaching staff definitely listens to the show. And, you know, maybe they'll hear one of your songs and realize it's better than the Country Boys. And you'll get to play the next spring training game.
Well, there you get it. There you go. We just did a full Herald. We did the full circle. Went back to the beginning. I love it. Aaron, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
We're officially in the off season. We're going to have some fun guests coming up. Good interviews. Good shit talking. Good times. Got anything to say to our dear audience?
I do. Please go onto Twitter and demand that Adam let me play another game of Duck D&D because we're in the off season. I think I should get to have a fantasy season. I've been yearning for it. I've been begging for it. He won't give it to me.
It's true.
Make him give it to me. Go to Twitter. Follow us. If you give us hearts and likes, that's only going to help raise my point that y'all are listening. And, you know, go over to iTunes, give us 5 stars, leave a review saying more Duck D&D, please. And I guarantee you he will do it.
If one if person you demand does it. That, I'll do it. If one okay. goddamn
for
person.
Every,
that is an errand. That is an errand.
Right. For every person that does it, Adam will add one game that I get to play. And if we can get 12 games, we just need 12 comments saying more Duck D&D. I get to play a whole season, and that will literally take us through the entire offseason.
It's true.
And what's better than getting to double up every week on a game of fantasy football coached by yours truly, and then getting to listen to Adam and Hithliday interview all of the upcoming teams? I mean, come on. That's the best sports entertainment out there.
Enough said. We'll see y'all next week. Go Ducks. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.